Where does that come from? That's why sitting's so important. No. You can sit on the bus, sit anywhere, but sit, you know, put it down there. And you can keep that question anywhere. You get more and more in touch. You see, everybody needs you. But that's what I've told everybody that asked me a question today, you know, it's like, put it here and let it be your teacher, let it be your teacher. Everybody has a koan, has a wonderful, strong koan. And again, maybe the words change a little bit and shift, and that's wonderful. It grows with you. And my koan right now is that thing of my time, how to divide my time in a balanced way. The Zen Center always, you know, needs more strong, it needs stronger students to be in the dark. Eric's an example of someone who goes to practice a lot, you know. That's great. And maybe that's my answer, is that there's people like Eric that'll do what I used to do. I used to always go to practice. This is my Zen Center karma.
Yeah, you know. I'm miserable.
Well. I'm just kidding. It's like a... Maybe that's it. I just have to let go and realize other people will do what I used to do. You know, it doesn't have to be me doing it, but still, like, it's like, that's my koan. It's like, I think it really helped people a lot if I practiced hard and was a good example. I'm not a good example right now. And another part of me, I'm a good mother example, you know. But anyway, that's bullshit. It's all, I just want to see how much bullshit that is. And just, again, I go back, what are you doing? You know, my advice is I don't always take it. You know, I go back, what am I doing just now? And then it gets clear, it all flows.
There's something about that question about career, though, that is blocking from going any further, mm-hmm. like to that, what I just said, where I'll just talk to say, well, what should I do in my life? I have to go to work.
You're stuck.
Further.
Yeah.
You know, it just, like, stops there. And it's been that way for years. And I guess I left my job in New York because I thought it would kind of, that pushing myself out of there would get me to a better, to a place where I can make a decision.
Did you just begin practicing, is that
mm-hmm.
what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. That means that you're not stuck with your practice. I mean, you're just beginning
yeah.
your practice, so
mm-hmm.
I would say that your practice is going to help you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you weren't practicing before, I mean, everybody's practicing in some ways, you know, everybody has questions, but if you really solidify it and you start, you know, sit, I think I'd really suggest you sit with a group if you can. We have a branch in Cambridge, and
mm-hmm.
there's other, Maureen is in Cambridge,
yeah, that's
you know.
Where
I've been going. Yeah. Real regular, like as regular as you can make it, so that you know that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, practicing really helps. Obviously, I'm a low class student, so I'll give low class teaching. You know, it's like that's my dharma. It's like I did it and it helped me, so that's all it can come from. You know, it helped me a lot. I worked 40-hour week and practiced twice a day for 7 years. You know? I did. Very rare. The only time I didn't practice was Thanksgiving or when I had to go visit my parents. And I don't say that with pride anymore. I say it's just a fact, and it really was an amazing thing to do. I did it with a lot of encouragement from Sansanim. He used to tell us, no vacations. If you have that vacation mind, you're already dead. You know, so because we used to say, well, could we just have, why don't we have... Friday nights off or Sunday mornings or something, you know, you go, no, it's no good. It's the worst. That's worse than not sitting at all if you have that idea of a space in your practice. So he was really he's not like a German sergeant or anything, but just real consistent. He really believes in consistent practice, everyday practicing. Even if you're not at your Zen center, to get up in the morning and do your bows and do your sitting, you know, at least do your bows, you know, yeah. Same time every morning. I've traveled with him. We'll be in Queens, New York, in somebody's apartment, you know. There's no room hardly to bow. And he'll get up 4 or 5, you know, start bowing. So you'd think, well, and he'll talk about it. He travels a lot, and he said one time, like, and he doesn't say this again to brag, but it's just to give a good example, you know. It's just his practice is everybody's practicing mind, and his practicing mind is yours, and you know, his is just more advanced in lots of ways, but I'll say, you know, he knows that he has karma, you know, lazy karma, food karma, stuff too. So he knows. So that's why it's so fun to listen. But he'll say, you know, yeah, last month I flew into Poland. Already I've been up like 26 hours or something. Their time was way off. So he said for them it was 6 o'clock at night. For me it was 2 in the morning. And he said, so I had to give Dharma talk, and I had to do this and do that. And he said, then, and at night, he said, this train kept going by or something. He said, and I had to call Korea. He said, so I only slept 2 hours. Something horrible. And he said, and he was doing this bowing retreat at the time. He's still doing 500 bows a day every day. He said, but still, I got up and did my 500 bows before I went to practice in the morning. You know, and practice starts at 5 or something. He got up at you know, 4:15 or something. He had to get up early and then to do all those bows. It's like, but that you know, your mind would say, well, this is a good excuse. I mean, this is a legitimate excuse not to get up this morning, because that my timetable's way off and I'm just out of it. And he has diabetes, and I could go on and on. But like, you know, not a healthy body. And he goes, but you had to cut through all of those excuses and his vow and his commitment and his decision to do a 500 bow a day retreat for a year was like really, you have to do it anyway. And that's like strong practice, you know.
I think very highly of Sansanin.
Mm-hmm.
Very highly. But what I'm going to say is that also requires a very childlike faith. And I'm sure that, for example, Tony, mm-hmm. who was here, would disagree with much of what you've said about the formality of the practice. I see it as being very conducive and very helpful, but I don't have that childlike faith. And often I wish I did. You know, I wish I could say a prayer. I wish I could say my Hail Mary. You know, but I can't anymore. And I wish I could believe that the physical structure of the practice was going to save me.
Mm.
But I don't have that childlike faith.
I wouldn't call it, we probably have different connotation what childlike faith means, but I think it's more of from experience. Any faith I have comes from, I never had faith externally. I never had faith in like the Episcopal Church, because I didn't have anybody to show me that it was working. I never got, in my the particular churches that my family belonged to, I never saw a good example of someone, you know, so I left it. When I was 17, I went, the hell with this, you know, didn't feel helpful. So I never had a faith just because of, well, you know, Jesus said or the minister said it. I have to see a living example, you know, I have to really see my own example. So I think the faith doesn't come until you really just try. And then maybe you can't try because you don't have the faith. But somewhere there's something in there that you can touch, you know. Well, I don't have the faith, so I can't try. But that you can't try because you're lazy, too. I'm not pointing my finger at you, but often it's not. So you have to say, what is it that doesn't want to try? Is it just because I don't have the faith? And that can just be another scenario of giving yourself excuses, you know. And I don't say that the only way to practice is through formal practice, through, you know, bowing or chanting or sitting. You know, Tony has some really good points that you can become dependent on those forms. And you could do them, and they don't help you at all if you're not doing them with the right mind. If you're just doing them for yourself and my practice is strong. I did a 500-day, 500 bows every day for a year. I mean, nothing will work if you don't have a vow and if you're not, you know.
It's the motivation.
Why do you practice?
Pardon?
Why do you practice? That's again, that's another question. To get in touch with that. And then the practicing is no problem.
It's been much more comfortable to practice than not to practice.
Mm-hmm. I've come to break everybody up.
I can see my watch. Okay.
It's been a lot more comfortable to practice than not to practice. And I've seen that. But that experience still does not prove to me that, you know, this is the correct. I still want to live spontaneously.
Then you go to hell, you know. I want to live spontaneously. It's already an idea. I mean, if I go to hell, I mean, you know, it's just like you just gotten yourself into a mess. You just punched a hole in the bottom of your boat, you know. It's like, I want to live spontaneously is an idea. So there's a deeper thing than that. What do you really want? And that's what you have to find, I think. Everybody has to find that. So you have, you know, you have issues, and I think that the deeper, the true issue has to appear for you, you know, that you really care about, because everything is fair, and life is very giving. Nothing's holding back with you, for you, you know, so it's something that you're holding back on, you know, define what that is.
So my question would be,
maybe just that. What is my question? That's your question. Why not? I had a friend, somebody was visiting here last couple weeks ago, and she was from Kentucky, and she was up here for about a week, and she got really into it, and she was happy, and really helped her practice. And, but she was, I was driving to the airport, and she said, I'm okay. She goes, but I want a little bit more from you. She goes, you know, give me a little bit more advice. She goes, now what is it that, what's don't know mind? And I went, that's it. What is it? She goes, what's don't know mind? I said, you've got it, you know, and you've got it. Let's use it, you know. You already have it. And if you don't, then more suffering is necessary. You know, it's the bottom line. It's like, more suffering is necessary. Somehow, the question will appear when you really want it to, you know. It's just more wants are getting in your way, so you can't touch it. I'm gonna go.
Thank you.